Good morning, church. First scripture reading is taken from chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they lay daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him as he joined and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention to them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This is word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Church, can I please invite us to stand to hear and receive the Holy Gospel this morning, written in the sixth chapter of the Gospel according to St. Mark, reading from the seventh verse right through to the 13th. Glory to Christ, our Savior. Mark chapter 6, verse 7. And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ our Lord. Please be seated.
Good morning. Peter and John were on their way to the temple to worship, as according to their custom, according to their practice, according to how they had always been practicing their faith. But today, as Peter and John walked towards the gates, they felt a familiar prompting of the Lord. And their attention was riveted towards a man begging at the gate to the temple. There were many other people begging for alms. It was very crowded. But this lame man was one of the regular sights. As long as they could remember, he had always been there. They didn't want to be late for the evening sacrifice, but both of them knew that the Lord was up to something, and it had to be done without delay. Who is this lame man? There are some people who are confined to a wheelchair because of sickness, but only for a short while. For sickness, because of an accident. There may be some who may need more permanent help to move around. They used to know what walking was like, what walking on their feet felt like. But this man at the gate, we are told, he had a very debilitating disability. He never ever learned to walk as we all do. He could not work in any capacity, and so daily he was carried by friends or family and placed there to beg, to depend on the goodness of the worshippers. He was in a very dire situation. His circumstances were not good. Acts 4:22 tells us that he was more than 40 years old and was a regular feature at the temple gates. Now, if you do your mathematics a bit correctly, you will realize if he's been there all this time for 40 over years, it must mean that in the last few years, he would have encountered the Lord Jesus. Because Jesus and his disciples would have walked past him as they went into the temple to worship. And yet, he is still lame. I like to imagine that my Lord Jesus would actually have stopped to speak to him, give him a high five, a little hug, speak to him very kindly, says, "Hey, how are you doing? Do you have enough money for food? I bet the Lord Jesus would have given him some money and then proceeded on to the temple to worship. What do you think would have gone through this man's mind? If Jesus healed the lame man at Bethesda Pool, I know he can heal me. I hear Jesus healed a blind man called Bartimaeus. I know he can heal me. I also heard that there was a dead man called Lazarus. I heard he was raised to death after a few days. I know Jesus can heal me." And yet, he never was. Daily, all he saw were the feet of people walking past him, dropping the few coins that meant very little to them, never stopping on their way into the place of worship. He sat there near the temple, yet never entering into worship. That was his life. He learned to capture people's attention so that they would be moved by guilt to give him something. Because he was lame, he was considered unclean. He was an outcast. He could not work. Whatever things that he made, nobody would want to buy because unclean. His attention at the gate was always darting from person to person, hoping to receive something. "Some coins, sir." Anybody, "Coins, sir." This evening, Peter's voice spoke out. He said, "Look at us." He looked at them, expecting that they would have something for him. "Silver and gold I do not have." "That's not what I was hoping for. Just a few copper coins would do, but like that also don't have. And what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." "What are you talking about, my friend? I may be lame in the legs, but you sound delusional." But even as they pulled him up by the right hand, he started to feel sensations in the lower part of his body, which he had never felt before. He felt strength come into his calves and thighs and knees. There was clicking and clacking, and he found himself standing tall. Sometimes we are the lame men. Sometimes because of some seasons or circumstances, they get the better of us. Disappointments in our work, retrenchment, debt, failure in our relationships, family strife, chronic sickness, all of these overwhelm us, and it seems to stop us from moving forward. Like this man in the gate, we are helpless and hopeless, unable to change our situations. We don't know why these things have happened. We cannot understand nor see any way forward, cannot see any way out. Sometimes there are those who choose to be lame. Due to some reason or other, we feel safer in our shell. We want to remain in our pain. We cannot bring ourselves to acknowledge that healing can be found in the Lord Jesus. We know that with God, nothing is impossible, but because of some traumatic experience, or maybe a fear of disappointment, or even just the inability to open up, we hold ourselves back from trusting in God's infinite abilities. But God always has greater intentions. On this afternoon, this man need not beg anymore. He was released into a new season of his life. Silver and gold would have bought the beggar some food, but its relief would be temporary until the money was all spent and he was back at the gate. You see, God simply isn't interested in temporary adjustment. He wants permanent transformation. But how often do we walk by and not notice a lame person? You see, remember that the man was at the gate for many years. He would have seen many ignore him and rush on by. Some walked on the other side so as not to come close to him, maybe because he smelled bad. His hand was always held out, hoping for a coin, but receiving nothing but dust as they rushed past. Many times, we may come in and out of the sanctuary like the people going into the temple. Could well be that we unknowingly sit with and pass by broken people with broken lives and broken hearts. Behind their smiles lies loneliness. There are people hurting in their private pain, laughing yet hiding their silent cries of heartbreak, confusion. There are people who are lame with fear and lame with doubt and defeat and trial, and they are searching for answers and direction. They're looking for restoration and they're searching for a hand to lift them in the love of Jesus Christ. I believe that the people of God have a unique ability to see them and not to pass by in indifference. We have the Holy Spirit to help us because we are called to take notice and not to take leave. Could there be a person that God wants you to minister to today or even during this weekend, maybe during these school holidays? Could there be a name that God has whispered into your heart that maybe you have put aside until later? Hospitality begins with acknowledging those whom we may overlook. Peter said, "Silver and gold I have none." That would have disappointed the man. That was all he had learned to expect to receive. That was all that he had grown to desire, silver and gold, coins dropped into his hands. But Peter's declaration is a profound understanding of what true wealth is. You see, typically, silver and gold belong in the hands of the influential, the rich, the powerful, and the successful. It represents the abundance that we have of our money, our resources, our wisdom, our talent, and all that we have been blessed with that makes us comfortable in life. Now, Peter and John had none of these. The last I read, they were horrible fishermen as well. They had nothing precious to call their own. The little coins that they had would not be able to help this man's situation. However, the next offer that Peter says, "But what I have, I give to you," highlights that what they have is something even more valuable. The power, the authority of Jesus Christ to heal and to save. The man looks at them with an expectation for cash, but they turn his expectations away from themselves and unto the Lord Jesus, who has the power to meet his real need. The amount and value of anyone's resources pales in comparison to the power of God to heal and create. The size of anyone's influence and the wealth of wisdom may be able to help someone temporarily, but lasting impact can only be achieved in the name of the Lord Jesus. This man did not need a handout. He needed a leg up. We who have more than enough to spare are helpless in and of ourselves to make any lasting impact. And so the passage really encourages us towards humility. To look less upon ourselves, what we have, who we are, what we know, and offer a way forward. Not using only our resources, but more importantly, to sow faith and point to Jesus. A story is told of St. Thomas Aquinas and a friend who was taking a walk in the midst of the splendor and the opulence of Rome. They were walking the streets and they were looking at all the shiny buildings. And the friend turned to Thomas Aquinas and he said, "You know, Thomas, we Christians certainly need no longer say, 'Silver and gold we have none.' Look at all these spanking new buildings. Look at all the rich food that we have to eat." Thomas Aquinas responded by saying this, "That is very, very true. But neither can we say to the lame man, 'In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk.'" Peter and John had nothing to boast about except the name of Jesus. They had nothing, 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 nothing except the name of Jesus. Everyone knew that they were the fishermen who had nothing. Their only claim to fame was that they had been with Jesus. And they shared the one thing with the lame beggar, the most valuable thing that they had. Peter and John lifted him up. All that this beggar was most familiar with, and I said earlier, was dirt, of being shunned and ignored. All his life, his focus was on alleviating his poverty. But now he has been told to change his focus. Look at us. Peter took the time to be interrupted in his worship. He took his hand and lifted him up. The hand was Peter's, but the miracle was Christ's. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 13 tells us, "For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you." It is the strength and healing power of the Lord Jesus that helps this man to stand. That's exactly what God wants to do through us as we point to Him. We stoop to lift up the fallen and offer them Jesus as their new vision. And the Lord does the rest. Can we imagine what happened after that? After all the clicking and clacking of his knees, and all of a sudden he's able to stand up and stand tall. He can swing his legs. You know, for us, we can swing our legs anytime we want. But for a lame man who has been lame for 40 over years, swinging his legs or even standing, even feeling his legs, is very, very difficult. How would you imagine he would have responded? How would he have reacted? 40 years on the floor, and now the Bible tells us that he's up. And he's moving around, and he's jumping, and he's praising God, and he's leaping. He's jumping. Have you seen anybody jump before? Have you jumped before? But this man was lame, and now he's jumping because he has been healed totally. This is a true creative miracle. There was no rehab, no physio, no chiro. The Lord made his legs functional for the first time ever. And he was jumping with joy. And guess what? Everyone can hear him from the outside of the temple all the way in. He interrupts the somber and dignified evening sacrifice with his shouts of joy from the outside. He was not softly or shyly praising God. He was clapping. He was shouting. He was whooping and leaping and jumping. This guy was hyped up because of what God has done for him. And it is because of what God has done for us that we can sing songs that God is holy forever, that we can thank God for all that He has done. That's the real stuff that worship is made out of. Worship is not stained glass windows. It is not a nice chord progression. It's not even when you feel a goosebump on your goosebump. This year was an overwhelming joy, resulting in some really loud and unhinged praise to the Lord. I don't know how, when was the last time we had really unhinged praise? Whether, I don't know when the last time you had unhingedly shouted unto the Lord, "Thank you, God. Praise you, Lord." This man did, because of what the Lord had done. John 15:11 tells us of this joy. Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Real joy is found in the Lord. Joy so full that it erupts and is uncontainable. It is undignified. It is unhinged. That is what God wants to give to us. Paul commanded us this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I will say rejoice. Always. Not only at 10 a.m., not only at 10 p.m. Always. The people of God are called to rejoice always because of what the Lord has done. Psalms 118:24. "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." We rejoice because the Lord has made the day for us. The people of God get to enjoy it, to live in it. The only true worship in that place was this guy jumping all over the place, messing up the ritual. The people saw it. They could not ignore it. Here was a man that everyone in town knew. They knew his circumstances. They had seen him for so many years. They sneered at his poverty. They knew his family. They walked past him several times. But now his testimony rang out loud and clear. And everyone was filled with amazement and wonder. The original word for this was thambos, which means astonished, stupefied, dumbfounded, or they had nothing to say. Jaw hang low. Last like, they could not believe their eyes. In Acts 4:16, the people were saying, the leaders were saying, "What shall we do with these men? For what a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. We cannot deny it." What to do now like that? There was no denying it. They couldn't cook up a story like how they tried to cook up for Jesus' resurrection. The man was standing right in front of their eyes and everyone was dumbfounded. Surely the day of the Lord was upon them. Surely the Messiah had come. In Isaiah 35 verse 6, the promise is, "Then shall the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in wilderness and streams in the desert." Surely this is the day of the Lord. The Messiah has come. What a transformation. What a witness. And it all started when the people of God stretched out our arms of hospitality to the world. If we pause, as I end this, as we pause, we ask ourselves, actually, aren't we this lame man now walking? Aren't we like this lame man? Aren't we like this man who could not do anything about our sin condition? From the very beginning of our lives, we were born into sin. We could not do anything. And yet the Lord came to rescue us and to lift us up. How then should we live? How then should we live? We should live with shouts of praise, with rejoicing. All around us, people need the Lord. There's none except the Lord that is able to bring true change and healing. None of our silver and gold will be able to bring lasting and permanent change to a person's situation. Yes, we are called to live in generosity, but the resources that we steward bring only temporary relief. But only in the Lord's arms can anyone ever find perfect and eternal peace. The account of Peter, John, and the previously lame beggar calls us to a life of hospitality that prioritizes a person's spiritual needs and trusts in the power of God to transform lives. My friends, like the apostles, we the once lame now walking, we the once lost now saved. Like the apostles, we the once hopeless and helpless and now with true hope in the Lord, we the once lame are called to be God's agents of healing and compassion in a broken world. We are called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. To bring emotional, spiritual healing to those around us because people need the Lord. God's call for us in Isaiah 58, 6 to 7 is this. Is this not the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. We are the agents of the Lord for God to work through to break the yoke upon men. So today, will we be sensitive to God's prompting? Be mindful to the needs of others with whatever resources God has given us. Today, will we be so bold to lift up others through acts of kindness? Today, because people need the Lord, today will we open our eyes and not turn a blind eye to those around us, sitting beside us, anywhere, in our workplaces, in a hawker center, in church, in our cell groups? Will we pray for them? Will we reach out to them so that they can also come into worship in the house of the Lord with joy, with shouts of praise? There's no one like the Lord. There is no one that can touch our hearts and bring us peace as He does. So this afternoon, as we draw close to partake of the Holy Communion, if you have received the salvation of the Lord, if you are a child of God, will you come forward, receive it, and thank the Lord for what He has done? Will we stretch out our hands and receive from the Lord, remembering of all that He has done for us? Will we receive Holy Communion not because we have to do it, but because of what God has done for us? We must remember that we were once lame. Remember what God has done for us. And we give of ourselves to others because there are many people who need the Lord. And then may we offer that hospitality to them as well. Let us pray. Father, we long to see the lame jump for joy. We long to see people who are lost found. We long to see those who lack love to be loved. Father, this morning, this Sunday afternoon, we pray that You help us to be Your agents of compassion, the agents of Your empathy, the agents of Your love. Lord, help us to be Your hands and feet. Lord, use us to lift them up. Lord, help us to point the way to You, that there can be permanent transformation in their lives. Lord, we are Your people. You have called us for such a task as this. So help us, O Lord. Help us, O Holy Spirit. We give of ourselves to you. We honor you and we bless you. We praise you for what you have done and are going to do. You are our good God, our Heavenly Father, our beloved Savior. We honor you and we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.